Thank you to Susie and Julie. Wow, a couple of dense and actually quite tough readings. I realise from a bit of research that actually there are no commas and full stops in lots of Old and New Testament writing, and it kind of shows, doesn't it? It flows and you think, hang on a minute, I just need to pause and take that in. As I was listening to Julie read, I thought, oh, I fancy preaching on that, actually. That's quite good fun. But don't worry, I'm going to preach on Ephesians. We are following a sermon series through the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to look at that passage that Susie read. But one of the few advantages of being married to the rector is you know what she's going to preach on Wednesday, which is that Matthew passage. So if you're thinking, well, I'd like to actually understand what that's about, if you can, do come along on Wednesday morning and Anna will tackle that. She'll probably tell you about her mother-in-law. I don't know. Okay, so let's pray. Father, as our hearts and minds are open to you, may your word speak to us and our lives be changed. Amen. So as I said, we're carrying on our sermon series through the book of Ephesians, and we reach chapter 2 from verse 11, and we begin to look at a couple of really big pieces of teaching. Mainly, I have to say though, this sermon is about Lego. Okay, well, I usually expect slightly more reaction than that, but okay, I'll accept that you are Anglicans, and so we don't want to get too carried away here. This sermon is about building. Who here, as a child or more recently, has played Lego? Not many of you. A few more are admitting it now. Not this nasty modern kit stuff where you get instruction, but that big box of bricks. The kind of soundtrack of my childhood and my children's childhood was that rustling and crashing that went on in the box as they looked for that bit that would finish the construction that was entirely in their imagination. The other soundtrack of our childhood and my children's childhood was the ow! As you came downstairs in the morning. You know the one? Yeah. Now, the really profound piece of wisdom that I want to share with you this morning, that if you go away with nothing else, it's this. Don't muddle Lego, Duplo and Playmobil. It doesn't work. Other brands are available, by the way. I'm not on commission. If you try and build with those different things, you won't get a good construction. It will fall down. Why do I say that? It will become obvious, because today we're talking about building, we're talking about Lego, we're talking a fair bit of history and a fair bit of context. So bear with me as we talk first of all a little bit about why this sermon is set in the context it is. Let me introduce you to Ephesus, the place where the church that Paul was writing to was based. Of course, it didn't look like this. This is just the modern ruins of Ephesus. In the first century, it was a big, bustling, cosmopolitan port. One of the main trading centres of Asia Minor. Think Southampton. So in the streets of Ephesus would be people from every nation under the sun that were known at the time, coming and going, ships being unloaded, carts driving away, lots of noise and bustle, and probably a fair bit of tension, because the different groups and cultures represented there would not always understand each other and see eye to eye. There probably was an odd Saturday night bust up down in the Lantarki. We don't have the records of that. People were divided by different cultures and understandings and languages. And I'm absolutely sure that isn't true now, is it? As a society, as a church, dare I say, we're not divided, are we? We're not split by Leave Remain, Tory or Labour, Street or Glastonbury. That's the only one that ever gets a reaction here. Nobody else. All the rest are a bit too difficult, aren't they? But the reality is we come with our own history and our own culture and our own understanding of what's going on here. We're not unique. We are very, and in Ephesus, it was very strong. And at the beginning of the reading that Susie read to us, it talked about one of the particularly sharp divisions in the church between the Jews, the people of the circumcision, as they were described, and the Gentiles, which basically was everybody else. And there was this sense in the first century church that the Jews were kind of top dogs, and the rest were kind of also rans. They were welcome, but hey, they weren't really as important because they hadn't grown up with this kind of Judaic faith. They didn't understand the rules. They didn't have the background and the culture that we have. And in that context, Paul's preaching about unity is radical. He says, no, it's not like that at all. You are all united. The thing that you have in common, which is Christ, is the thing that unites you. All the rest of this stuff is kind of almost irrelevant. And for people who have been brought up in a Judaic culture where the rules were everything, this is radical stuff. It's a bit like telling a British audience, it's okay, folks, you no longer need to queue. Or tea is horrible. It's at that level, it's deep in their culture that you followed the rules. To those of you who haven't grown up in this church, who haven't grown up in that Western culture, please ask Brits to explain to you what queuing's all about afterwards. Okay, it's weird. Okay, we've tried to explain it to our Ukrainians, they don't get it. Okay. And then Paul goes on. He talks about this uniting, and then he talks a lot. Did you notice in the early verses of Ephesians about citizenship? That seems, again, quite strange to us, because surely we're all citizens. We all have a vote. We all belong. But in Roman times, this is really radical teaching, because in Rome, the Roman Empire, and in Ephesus, the vast majority of people were not citizens. It was only a small minority who had Roman citizenship, like Paul did, and that gave them a huge number of rights, including the right to appeal directly to the emperor should they feel that justice wasn't done. And if you read through Paul's letters, you'll hear his story of him appealing to the emperor. That's why he ends up in Rome, because the emperor hears his case. I think those of you who can probably see where I'm going with this. He says to the church, you are citizens of a godly kingdom. You who are seen by the Roman Empire as also rans, the least, the last, the lost, the people who don't really count, the mass, whose job is really to pay taxes and do as they're told. You are citizens of God's kingdom. You can appeal directly to the King of Kings. You're an elite, if you like. You're special. You're amazing. Church, that's you. You are citizens of God's kingdom. You can appeal directly to the King of Kings. It's what prayer is. You have the rights to an audience with the Almighty. We've sung about that this morning. We've prayed about it. We've confessed directly to the Almighty. But for Paul's listeners and readers, this was radical, because they have no such rights. They'd never heard of the like. That was for the elite over there. So he's setting a radical context and a radical agenda for the core part of his teaching, which you'll find right at the end of the verse in verses 21 and 22. And it's two short verses that I'm going to focus on really this morning, and we're going to do a little bit of history, more history, I'm afraid. I was a history teacher for many years, so forgive me. More history on what it means to be building the church in the context of a citizenship, in the context of unity. One of the things that Ephesus, or the thing that Ephesus was really famous for, was the temple. It's a pagan temple, but people came from all over the world, known world, to worship to give offerings to this temple. It, in the context of the buildings at the time, was truly awesome. People looked at it and went, wow. Those of you who remember a little bit older can remember when the London Eye was first built. And people went, wow. Some people went, yuck. But, you know, the overall feeling was, that's an amazing achievement. We'll come to visit that when you went, and we did. It was a huge disappointment. But you went to visit because it looked amazing. And in that context, Paul says in verse 21, we are rising to be a holy temple to the Lord. And this is written to Ephesians who would see this out of their bedroom windows, as it were. We are rising to be something even more amazing than that. We are being built into a temple that surpasses one of the modern wonders of the world for them. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're being built into a temple, a holy temple to the Lord. Forget that. That's nothing. Wait to see what God is doing to you. So, church in street, do you feel awesome? Church in street, do you feel a little bit awesome? Yeah. A little bit. Okay, we're getting there. Good. Can I have a maybe? Yeah. Do you feel like a place that people might flock to? That's what God promises. That's what God promises he is doing with his church. And this is radical teaching for that church in Ephesus, just as it's radical teaching for the church of today. I loved these pictures as a child. This is the kind of, those of you who might remember the Doreen Kinnersley books, when you turn the pages, there's such a lot going on. This is a picture of a Roman building site. And Paul says, what God promises to his church is that we are being built together. The other thing that Ephesians would see all the time is building works. The Romans were fantastic builders, aqueducts, hippodromes, everything. And so they would have seen Roman engineering going on and lots of people involved in this building. If you want to have a good look at this afterwards, ask Sean to pull the slide back up and have a good live back in my childhood. So these construction sites would have been the context in which Paul said to his church, you are being built. This is you. Anybody here watch the Lego movie? Yeah. Do you remember right at the beginning? Everything is awesome when you're part of a team. I think I'm working quite hard this morning. It's a kind of Christmas staple in our household. Again, remember our story about Lego during the day. It's become a bit of a staple. It's not a great movie, if we're honest. But then that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it, really? I wonder, is everything awesome when you're part of a team? This is done when they're building something according to instructions, if you remember, at the beginning of the Lego movie. My question is, church, the Ephesus church house, are we part of this building team? Are we being built? Or are we just spectators going, well, that's nice. Yeah, look at them all working really hard. Are we being built? Or are we watching a building project? It's a work in progress, and it's a work in progress that we are asked to be part of. Yeah, that always gets a reaction, doesn't it? Nice, cute little hedgehogs all cuddled up. But let me introduce you to the hedgehog principle. If we are being built together, if we are gathered as a holy temple to the Lord, it means we're getting closer. And what's always surprised me about hedgehogs is, doesn't that hurt? That actually they've all got prickles, and aren't they prickling each other? And isn't it true of the church? As we grow together, we will prickle each other occasionally. And that's the context in which Paul teaches about unity. You are being built, but you are human. And therefore, as you grow closer, you will prickle each other occasionally. But remember, we are united. As we're being built, let's concentrate on the things that unite us rather than the things that divide us. So we are being built. We are being built into a holy temple to the Lord. And finally, we are to be a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is radical stuff again. In that temple, in Ephesus, people brought their offerings to the God, and they prayed and they went away, and they believed that the God was somehow some distant figure who might or might not say yes, but was basically fairly cruel and indifferent. In that context, we are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God isn't out there, God's in here. And that's really radical teaching. And it still remains radical teaching. Who fancies living here? Ring the bell. Tea? I think I'll have my cucumber sandwiches without crusts today. And then maybe after I've eaten those, I'll go and stand on the balcony and wave to the peasants. Do you think they teach that royal wave to young royal children? You know, nobody else waves like that. It's an amazing place. We often set up this kind of living and lifestyle as some kind of aim and objective. This is the way it should be done. We think, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could live like the royals? Then we go home to our own messy kitchens and our untidy gardens. But we set this as kind of ideals, and we write lots about it, and we read about it, and we watch it on the TV. But what Paul is saying is, no, you've got it wrong. You are the dwelling. You're not dwelling in this kind of wonderful temple, the way God sort of is and you can aspire. God is in you. God is in the midst of you through his Spirit. You are the church. You, the church, individuals, are the place where God lives. So our buildings are important, but actually, you're the church. You're where God lives, in your daily lives, outside, Monday to Saturday. God lives through you. He taught this to the Ephesians, who went about their daily lives in the busy, bustling Ephesus. He taught it to you and I as we go about our daily lives. I want to take you back to where I began the service, of that image from Ezekiel 47. We had the river flowing out of the temple, and I asked you then, where are you? Are you looking at the river, saying that's nice, but it's not much to do with me, let's have a picnic beside it? Have you dipped your toes in? Are you prepared to have a little paddle and see what it's like? Are you ready to dive in? To dive into all that God has as someone in whom the God lives by his Spirit? Where do you stand? We're going to pray in a moment, and I just invite you to offer that up, that to God. And if you're in place A, could you ask him to help you to move to place B? Back to our Lego. I could have just stopped the sermon really at the beginning and said, right, we're not going to preach, I'm just going to ask you to play Lego. And that would have been quite fun, wouldn't it? And we would have created something. As we work together, as God's church in this place, we are creating a holy temple, a place where God lives by his Spirit. He calls us to be the people who do that. Can I invite you to stand? I'm just going to pray, and my prayer is that you will take steps on that journey, that we will take steps on that journey to be open to being a temple, a holy dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we commit again to you. we commit again to growing and building your kingdom through your Spirit in this place. Make us a building pleasing to you. And Lord, help us to take the next steps on the construction of your kingdom here in Street. Amen. We continue in a time of worship as the musicians return and lead us in song.